everyone. This is Mackenzie Dean, Managing Editor at Becker's Hospital Review. Thanks for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today, I am so pleased to be joined by Dr. Joe Nicholson, Chief Medical Officer at Care Allies. Dr. Joe provides strategic direction, operational oversight, and thought leadership for Care Allies clinical programs and operations, including ACO and social determinants of health strategies and operations. Additionally, he supports business development and provides clinical oversight for all companies and programs under Care Allies. Dr. Joe has held leadership positions at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a subsidiary of Healthcare Service Corporation. He was also instrumental in establishing Oklahoma's Health Information Exchange, partnering with the state of Oklahoma and Oklahoma University to do so. Dr. Joe is a board-certified family medicine physician and a veteran of the U.S. Army. He earned his medical degree at Oklahoma State University's College of Osteopathic Medicine and his residency at Oklahoma University College of Medicine in Tulsa. Dr. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Mackenzie, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, too. Thank you for asking. We are very excited to have you here. So let's jump right into the conversation. So can you start off by telling us a bit about what it is that you and your organization do?
Sure, Mackenzie. So let's start with what is Care Allies or who is Care Allies? So Care Allies is in the business of moving physician groups along that value-based continuum from fee-for-service, what I like to call per-click medicine, to high-performance under value-based arrangements. We help our partners achieve best-in-class value-based performance, and we aspire to radically simplify value-based care nationwide. Care Allies does operate in 10 states, supporting 64 large physician organizations in a variety of arrangements, from IPA to ACO to CIN and others. And in terms of, you know, more about what we do or the why we do, the current pace of escalating healthcare costs is certainly unsustainable. At this point, I think everyone in the industry recognizes the need to fundamentally change the way we reimburse for healthcare delivery. And value-based contracts and experiments are happening in every sector of healthcare, and many have complex nuances. So physician groups are well served to have a partner with a demonstrated history of success in managing a myriad of value-based arrangements and in a multi-payer environment, and that's where Care Allies comes in. And then last, in Care Allies partnering with providers and payers, the current trends, right, that I just mentioned are really what make what we do every day so important. Healthcare costs spiraling out of control, value-based arrangements continuing to rapidly expand in multiple sectors, but especially on the government side, and then the doctors need help in organizing their data and approach to be successful.
Wonderful. Thank you for giving that description. I think it's a helpful context. And I know you mentioned the need to fundamentally change the way that we reimburse for care delivery. Can you elaborate on that?
I'm sure. Happy to. The fee-for-service model, which has been around for almost a century, since 1926, it's pretty straightforward system for essentially, you know, paying per click, as I mentioned earlier, for services rendered. And of course, what ballooned over time is the more things you do for a patient or to a patient, the more money there is to be made. So ordering more tests, more expensive tests, doing more procedures, all became part of that lucrative model. And unfortunately, quality of care rendered or outcomes for the population served were never really considered under the paradigm. So by the mid-2000s, many organizations and physician groups began to recognize the importance of weaving in value of the services and the quality delivered into the reimbursement equation. So since then, a whole variety of value-based contracts have erupted, including taglines like moving from quantity to quality or from volume to value. From my point of view, though, there is real risk in choosing to remain outside of value-based arrangements and simply practicing in the fee-for-service model exclusively. And we need to evolve into a value-based model if you're not already there, and the models that exist, right, need additional evolution as well. And at the end of the day, you know, this is better for the patient, it's better for the doctor financially as well, and it lowers the total cost of care delivery. So, you know, the water's warm. If you're not there, you should be hopping in.
Absolutely. This context is very helpful. I'm curious, what about the pandemic? How has that affected the shift to value?
So really good question, Mackenzie. I mean, the pandemic, what hasn't it changed? It's changed a lot. And certainly during the pandemic, from a clinical perspective, it drove innovations in ways that simply did not occur or would not occur have occurred, you know, in that pre-pandemic, non-pandemic environment. So docs were scrambling, for example, to find different ways to connect with their patients who are now fearful to come into a clinic setting. Telemedicine became the norm instead of the exception. Even more dramatic was to see the difference between how physician groups heavily steeped in value-based arrangements reacted during the pandemic compared to those who were completely reliant on that fee-for-service world. So docs under value-based care arrangements were often the fastest to adapt and to do what made the most sense for their patient population, like telemedicine, without waiting to hear from the payers to whether that service was reimbursable or not. Now juxtapose that to fee-for-service physicians, many of whom awaited approvals from payers before they even began doing virtual office visits for their patients, which I thought was kind of sad, but that's pragmatically what happened, and I get it. Physicians who are fully capitated continue to receive monthly checks for the patient panels they were managing and really managed to have strong financial stability. And then again, juxtapose that to physicians completely reliant on fee-for-service who saw a dramatic drop in patient volumes, almost zero in the early months of the pandemic, resulting in the staff being laid off, fired, or some offices being completely shuttered for months. And really sad to see that happen.
So can you share some guidance on how an organization can move through the value-based continuum?
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, probably not the same path for any two organizations. I'll lead with that. We have to start with where you are and then where you want to go and then the resources at your disposal. I'd also lead with, you know, it needs to be done in phases. We needed a collaborative approach to data sharing. But let's shift into another line that I often say is stepping into pay-for-performance arrangements. It can be quick and fairly painless depending on where you start. So you will need more sophistication as you move to shared risk, bundled pricing opportunities, and even more sophistication and data tools for managing global capitated arrangements or, you know, some of these newer direct contracting entity arrangements being released by CMS. Organizations that have been willing to pilot risk-based contracts have found implementation does take time and significant effort. But again, it depends on where you start and where you're trying to go. It doesn't have to be as painful as you might imagine it should be. But those that have demonstrated the most success, you know, start small, like in the pay-for-performance arena, and then slowly transition the percentage of contracts that are truly risk-based over time. More often than not, providers will need to revamp key processes, particularly on that right side of the more complicated spectrum, because you're trying to develop consistent, repeatable processes across all payer contracts, which will call for alignment across the organization's clinical and administrative efforts. And then, you know, with a little call to action, if you do today, as you're listening to Mackenzie and I chat, if all your eggs are in that fee-for-service basket, I would strongly encourage you to consider diversifying your contract portfolio with payers to include a range of value-based arrangements. And if you're already in value-based contracts, consider moving even further down that value chain and adopt some fully capitated business as well. And consider finding other like-minded organizations to partner with. That often makes it easier and certainly more interesting as you can share best practices across organizations. But reach out to your most collaborative payer partners as well and find out what value-based arrangements they might have for you to participate. I think you'd be surprised if you're not in any today. Your payers can act as an accelerant to that conversation. And then, of course, don't forget finding a partner who has experience in helping organizations in their journey from volume to value. There are a lot of ways partners like CareAllies can guide healthcare organizations through those alternative payment model continuum contracts to achieve flexibility and financial stability. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I think those are great insights to end on. Dr. Joe, I just want to thank you so much for your time and thoughtful responses today. It's really been such a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, you're too kind, Mackenzie. It was really the pleasure was mine. It was delightful meeting you. I appreciate you taking time out with me today.
Absolutely. And we would also like to thank our podcast sponsor, Care Allies. Listeners, you can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.